then, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, we'll commence by reading hymn number 678. There's not a man that's born of God that readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. There's not a man that's born of God that feels the plague of sin, but though his outside be kept clean, he feels the filth within. The old man struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace, and oft he seems to gain the field when Jesus hides his face. God knows we can do nothing well. He knows we are but dust. He came to seek poor sinners out, and you and me the worst. But may the Lord help us then to read from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant, or urgent, with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counsellor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was a preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and behold the sepulchre, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading of his holy word, and may he help and teach us to pray. O thou most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Thou that inhabitest the heavens and the earth, Thou that rulest and reignest above all things, and Lord, Thou that art the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, and all our times are in Thy hands, and all events at Thy command. And O Lord, what is man then? Oh, that we should be granted that access at the throne of grace. Do, Lord, then come. And, O Lord, do grant unto us that access and that true spirit, Lord, of prayer for a few moments as we seek to call upon thy name. O Lord, do come. Grant us that spirit of prayer, that breath of prayer, Lord. And, O Lord, do unite, Lord, the prayers offered audibly and the prayers offered up silently, Lord, from the hearers. Oh, that our prayers might be united and ascend up unto thee. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that we have thee as that mediator, that intercessor, oh, at God's right hand on high. O Lord, for thou knowest, we are poor, weak, sinful creatures of this earth. And O Lord, we know that the Lord God Almighty abhorreth sin and cannot look upon it. But Lord, that we might be looked upon by the Father through the Son. O Lord, we do beg that we might be found sheltering in thy wounded side, that we might be found covered and sheltering under thy blood. O Lord, this Lord's Day morning, do draw near unto us, Lord. Have mercy on us. Help us, Lord. And O Lord, lift us above, Lord, the things of this earth, the things of time. Those things, Lord, that we felt as it were have put us about. But Lord, lift us up above it. Lord, we did not, it came, Lord, to us in that way as a surprise. We thought, Lord, that it all was all right. But Lord, thou knowest, thou art in control. Lord, we are but mortal men. And O Lord, do then have mercy upon us. Lift us up, Lord. And Lord, do help us then to worship thee this Lord's Day morning. Lord, though we are apart and though we meet in these remote means, Lord, do bind us together, Lord. Oh, knit our hearts together, Lord, this morning. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, how each one have come, how each one, Lord, have come to the service this morning. Thou knowest the soul's needs of each and every one. And, O Lord, where they have come hungering and thirsting, Lord, do, Lord, refresh them this Lord's Day. Oh, that they might be granted a crumb, a token, Lord, a crumb from the Master's table. And, O Lord, help there to be those, Lord, this Lord's Day morning, oh, that are found, like that dog at the master's table, eagerly watching and waiting for a crumb to drop, from the table. And, Lord, do then, feed souls. Thou knowest, send none empty away, Lord. And, Lord, where there may be no concern at all, Lord, put that concern within hearts this Lord's Day morning. Lord, that eyes might be opened, deaf ears might be unstopped, hearts might be broken. Lord, for thou hast said, Lord, and we, we cannot think of the word, but Lord, no heart is too hard for thee to break. Lord, even the hardest of hearts. And Lord, as the hymn writer has said, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Lord, where there may be those that feel to be so vile, Lord, and the old adversary might have been saying to them even this morning that you are too vile. But none are too vile. And Lord, where there are those that may have come, Lord, and their hearts may be so hardened to the things of God, break them, Lord, soften them, prepare them. Oh Lord, and do, oh Lord, do come and pull down and root up the thistles and the thorns and the briars that dwell, Lord, within our hearts. Break up our hard, stony hearts, Lord. We have to prove continually, Lord, that we have these hearts of stone that unconcerned can look upon, and to our utter shame, eternal misery. And, oh, Lord, Lord, have mercy then. And do, Lord, open our eyes, soften our hearts. Come, Lord, and dwell within. And, oh, Lord, do come and fill us with that love to thee, that love to thy word, that love to thy house, that love to thy ways, and that love to thy people, Lord. Lord, thou knowest it is so opposite to our old nature that we love to be found clinging to this earth, left to ourselves. But, oh, Lord, and we often left to ourselves, we, as it were, buoy ourselves up, thinking that we will live forever. But, Lord, thou knowest, oh, when our last breath will be taken. And, oh, Lord, do come then and prepare us, Lord, for our ends. And, oh, Lord, do help us to have our affections set on things above, Lord, not on things of the earth. But, Lord, oh, do help us to be found in thy word, in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. Oh, Lord, do help us to acknowledge thee, and to acknowledge thee now, Lord, as thou hast brought judgment upon this nation. And, oh, Lord, it is deserved judgment, deserved wrath. But yet, Lord, thou hast still been so, so merciful to us as a nation. Oh, Lord, thou hast not dealt with us as our sins have deserved. And, oh, Lord, thou hast granted us once again that springing forth, that seed time. And, oh, Lord, oh, that it might be like that, Lord, spiritually, in our churches, individually and in our nation, Lord. That time of seed time, oh, that this time, Lord, even now, that this virus, Lord, may have been used to prepare hearts, Lord, to bring them in, to see, oh, Lord, that we have a never-ending eternity, and how we each need to be prepared. For, Lord, thou knowest, oh, Lord, where we are by nature. But, Lord, oh, that this time might be then a true spiritual seed time. But, Lord, thou, thy word through the Apostle Paul says, I have, Paul has planted and Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. And, Lord, we long that thou wouldst give the increase. And, oh, Lord, that there might be, even at this time, Lord, that newness of life, that spiritual life, that spiritual birth, Lord, and that bringing forth, Lord, of those spiritual children. Oh, Lord, we beg. And do, Lord, them remember the dear cause, Lord, at the Dicker. Be with them and help them. Strengthen them and uphold them, bind them together. Do not allow, Lord, this time of remoteness from one another to draw and divide them, Lord, but that it might be used, Lord, and to bring them closer together still. And, oh, Lord, that it might be, oh, Lord, greatly used among them. And, oh, Lord, do bless them, Lord, and bless thy word among them. And, oh, Lord, do, Lord, be with each one. Oh, Lord, those, the children and the young, Lord, remember them. Oh, work mightily within them, Lord. Soften them, Lord, whilst young in years. Oh, do bless them while young in years. And do, Lord, help them. And do be with them, Lord, even at this time, as they have had to be drawn away from the world for this time. Lord, use it to the good of their souls. Oh, Lord, we beg, and remember those in the midst of life, those, Lord, that may, Lord, be in those times of financial need, Lord, at this time. Oh Lord, when their employment may have been taken in that way, or they may be, Lord, in reduced employment or whatever it be, and those, Lord, that may feel as though they have too much, Lord, to do, but Lord, help them each in it, Lord, and do be with each one, Lord, as they bear the heat and the burden of the day. Strengthen them, support them, uphold them, Lord. And Lord, those in the evening time of life, Lord, draw near unto them, be with them, bless them. And oh Lord, do, Lord, help them. And do, Lord, remember the widows and the widowers. Draw near unto them, Lord, comfort them, support them. And oh Lord, in these lonely times, Lord, as they may be alone, draw near unto them, Lord. Be that guest in their home, Lord. Grant them, Lord, a visit from thee. Oh, Lord, that thou mightest grant us each a visit from thee, Lord, even this day. Lord, thou knowest the word that we believe thou hast sent us with, and may it prove, Lord, to be thy word for each one, Lord, we beg, or for at least one, Lord, we beg. And, oh, Lord, remember their dear pastor and his dear one. Be with him, Lord, as he stands upon the walls of Zion now, and be with him and help him. Bless his labours, Lord, this day, and bless his labours still among the people there at the Dicker. And, Lord, help him, strengthen him, support him, grant him, Lord, those encouragement still. Be with each one of thy servants, Lord, this day. Be with them, grant them thy word. Lord, as they preach in this remote way, Lord, it is unusual. It is what we have never known before. But, Lord, oh, do use it, Lord, for us each, that we might yet, oh, prize and, oh, greatly prize that great privilege, Lord, of being enabled to meet in thy house. And, oh, Lord, use it to cause it to examine ourselves, Lord. Did we truly value it while we had it? And, oh, Lord, thou hast taken it from us, and judgment has begun at the house of God. Lord, be with us then. And do help us. Be with us, Lord, as we bring thy word before the people. Lord, we are but a mortal man. And Lord, we need thee, Lord, for we are an empty vessel. We have no words of our own, but we need thee to pour in, Lord, that we might be able to pour out, Lord, into the souls of thy people, into the hearts of thy people. Lord, prepare those hearts, Lord, that we might be able to pour out. Oh, we do beg of thee, Lord, for it is all of the Spirit's work. We need thee to pour out thy Spirit abundantly upon us, Lord, those that hear and those that speak. Lord, we do beg. Bless us each then, Lord. Do, Lord, remember any that are sick and afflicted. Lord, do heal them. And, oh, Lord, do draw near unto them. Lord, and if it is not thy will, Lord, to heal them, oh, do prepare them. And Lord, if it is thy will that it is for their end, but Lord also, Lord, if it is not for their end, do grant that grace to bear it. Lord, how they need it. And oh Lord, do them be with us each. Be with those, Lord, in the health service, Lord, all that they are doing. Help them, Lord, and do preserve them, we beg, and go before them. Do them make up in giving, where we have no doubt failed, Lord, in our asking. And do pardon what we may have spoken amiss, for thy great and holy name's sake. Amen. We will continue by reading. We were going to sing it, but I won't try because I don't want to, as it were, cut anything off at this time. So we will read number 95. Hymn number 95. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. He took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. Dear Lord, what heavenly wonders dwell in thy atoning blood. By this are sinners snatched from hell and rebels brought to God. What glad return can I impart for favours so divine? Oh, take my all, this worthless heart, and make it wholly thine. As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would draw your very prayerful attention, and feeling greatly the need of the Lord's help, to the words that you will find in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, and reading from our text, verse 41. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, and reading verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. I'll read those three verses to you, and just so it puts it into context. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, or for you children's benefit, that word railed really means insulted or blasphemed the Lord Jesus. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And I'll read these next few verses. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord, on the past day, seemed to lay this last clause of that verse 41 upon my spirit, but I feel that I, as helped, must preach, as it were, from the text, the whole of the text, and look, as it were, at these malefactors, these thieves that were found there on the cross with the Lord Jesus. But then this last clause, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, what we have here before us. Oh, these were the words of that dying thief. Oh, one who was hanging upon the cross beside the dear Saviour. But here we look at these two thieves, and we have to say here, well, these two thieves, are we any better than the two thieves that are found here? Can we say we've got anything better than they, as they were found there, and as the one thief here had to acknowledge, we indeed justly, Dear friends, we're no better. Let us not be mistaken there. We're no better than that thief. There on the cross, railing on Jesus, they were both sinners, and they were both found there for their sins. They were found on the cross for sin, for the sin that they had committed. And you children might say, but we aren't thieves. We've not done what they have done. But dear, even you children, let us ask you that question. Have you never stolen? Have you never told a lie? Well then, dear children, you're no better then than these thieves, are you? Because you're sinners and you came forth from the womb just the same as these two thieves, speaking lies. We came forth from the womb as sinners. Sin was in us. It was in us. And you children, you may say, but how can sin be in us when we're born? And my own children may have heard me say this before, but as I heard one or read of one said at once that the sin is like the venom in a snake. The snake has the venom in it, but until the snake bites, that venom is still in it. And it doesn't come forth until that snake bites, but it's in the snake from the time that snake is born. And it's just like that of a child of God. The venom, the sin is in them from the moment they're born, or from the moment they're conceived. Now here then, we find here these two of thieves on the cross, these two malefactors. They were found hanging either side of the Lord Jesus. They'd been taken with him on that journey up to Golgotha, and they were then found there. But then, dear friends, we have set before us these two. And as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I just want for a few moments to dwell upon these two thieves. We have in these two thieves, we have the Lord's work. We see here we have election. We see one, these two, dear friends, when we consider them, they were both hanging beside the Saviour, either side. They both saw the Lord Jesus himself say to those Roman soldiers, he didn't say it to the Roman soldiers, he prayed unto his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But yet still, even after he prayed that prayer, and they'd seen him pray, in one place we read, I believe it's in the Gospel according to Matthew, that both of these malefactors railed upon him and cast these sayings that the Jews were saying, if thou be the Christ, come down from the cross, and if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And we read in the Gospel of Matthew that they were both there doing it. But then we see there the Lord began to work in one, but the other, it meant nothing to him. It had no effect on him to see the Saviour dying by his side. It had no effect. But on the other it did. We see there then, do we not, the doctrine of election. One was taken and the other lost. One was taken to be with the Lord Jesus on high and was taken to live forever. And the other was to die forever and ever for all eternity. It had no effect upon him. There was that lost and the saved that was seen here as well. One on one side of the Lord Jesus was lost and the other saved. And dear friends, let us not be deceived about it. There will be that dividing line, and there's that dividing line between us each now. There will be that dividing line. And there was there shown on the cross that dividing line between those that heard and saw the Lord Jesus expire upon the cross, those that heard his dying gasps, as it were, and saw him in that ignominious death. But it had no effect. No effect at all. But there was that one. What a mercy that there was that one on the other side. He was a sinner still, and he was a sinner to the moment he died. But yet the Lord had mercy upon him. And that, dear friends, there's that dividing line, even among us, the lost and the saved. And dear friends, which side Will you on which side will I be found upon when we come down to our end? It's a very solemn consideration. But you look there. They both had the Saviour before them. They both heard his words. They both saw and knew that why he was there. And they were both sinners. They were both being punished for their sins. But yet one was granted that view of their Saviour, or that view of the Saviour and their need of a Saviour, and the other had no effect. It's very solemn, isn't it? Is it not? We have there, as I said, the lost and the saved. We have there mercy and judgment. Judgment upon one, mercy on the other. Oh, dear friends, does it have then any effect upon you? As you read through this chapter that we read of the Lord Jesus' death upon the cross, and his death, not just a death, but it was a death that, as the hymn writer says, that we fellow sinners might live. Oh, it was not a death of death, it was a death that sinners might live. It was a death that he had to die for the forgiveness of their sins. And I hope, as the Lord may be pleased to help me, to come to that shortly. But here, there was that mercy and judgment. For be not deceived, dear friends. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They were reaping the rewards of their sin. They were being hung there upon the cross. One was shown and had his eyes open to see that he justly deserved it. But is there one, you might be found this morning, the Lord, you perhaps have prayed to the Lord, Lord, do come and do, Lord, be unto me my Saviour. But you feel as though the Lord, you might have also prayed, Lord, open my eyes to see thee as mine. But now you feel, the Lord has answered my prayer in such a way that I didn't expect. Because all I can see and feel is my sinfulness and my sins, and I feel so bound down by them, so as though they are a cross upon my back. But dear friends, as the Lord began to show you your sins, and therefore by showing you your sins, does it make you mourn over your sins? Make you mourn over that which you've done? That which, if the Lord is your Saviour, would have cost him dearly here on the cross? Well, dear friend, the Lord has begun to show you, like this dying thief, whom he did have mercy upon. Because here we see in the dying thief the Lord's mercy, the Lord's work beginning, the grace of God being imparted into his heart by the Lord himself. If the gospel according to Matthew, where it says, and the Lord's word is true, so we must believe it, that they were both found railing upon him. But the Lord had a love to one. Oh, but dear friends, you imagine the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, when he was there upon the cross, and that one there, the two were railing upon him, but yet he had a love and a mercy toward that one, and he began to work within him even in his last hours. But he had to be brought there to see. He was in that same as he tried to speak to his fellow thief there on the cross. We're in the same condemnation. They were condemned for their sins. And as the Lord began to show you, that you are condemned by your sin. But dear friend, if the Lord hasn't begun to show you, if the Lord hasn't begun to show you that you are condemned for your sins and that you indeed justly deserve punishment for your sins, dear friend, You take it home and consider it over yourself. You think upon it in your own time. But, dear friend, if the Lord hasn't begun, oh, think and tremble. For death is now upon the road. We begin to die from the moment we are born. Be not deceived. And we indeed justly. Oh, has the Lord begun to show you, like he has this dear dying thief here? Yes. He was being found punished there, but all his punishment was nothing compared to what had been and was being laid upon the dear Saviour. But dear friends, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But dear friends, this dying thief here, he could see before him there was a Saviour. He could see before him there was this one who was being punished unjustly, the just for the unjust. Oh, he was. But you consider, dear friends, when we think here, this man hath done nothing amiss. He had done no wrong. But, dear friend, where do we stand? Where do you and I stand? For there upon that scene there of those three crosses, we have the cross of the Lord Jesus in the centre as we understand it, and one to the right hand and one to the left. Dear friends, there will be, as I said a moment ago, that dividing between the sheep and the goats. There will be that when the Lord comes again. There will be that in our ends where the Lord will say those two things, as it were, those two forms of words to, he will speak to his people one way and to those who are not his another. There will be that. Oh, to his dear saints who have, he has begun, who he has shown them their condemnation, their receiving of their due reward, and their sins, and their need of their Saviour, they will be shown. And they will be told, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. But then, dear friends, there will be those, oh, those like the thief on the cross there, depart from me, I never knew you. Never knew you. Oh, dear friends, it's very solemn. But may it be an encouragement to the child of God. You may be found bowed down by your sins, weighed down. You feel as though, as I said a moment ago, they weigh upon you like a cross. You feel to carry them about. But, dear friends, here, if the Lord has begun to show you them, begun to open your blind eyes, make you to see the vileness within your poor wicked heart by nature, then you've been brought in with the dying thief here. We indeed justly. As the Lord begun to show you, as it were, that you justly deserve punishment. You have sinned against an holy God, and you justly deserve the due reward of your sins. And what does the Lord say? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And what does the Lord say? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, and the dear dying thief here was granted that gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the dear dying thief was given. But dear friends, this word, as it came to my mind, oh, do not think that this is any excuse for a deathbed religion. And to say, well, the dying thief was wrought upon in his end, so I need not worry about this. Oh, dear friends, no. Oh, may you not be deceived by the old adversary to say, well, you look on the dying thief. Don't worry about your religion now. Don't worry about your end. That's a long time away. Don't worry about your need of a saviour yet. Don't worry about your sins. There's a saviour for you. Oh, don't let the old adversary deceive you like that. No. No, for we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Oh, but as I say, the dying thief's death here was an unusual death. There's none ever will die beside the Saviour again. No, his was an unusual case. So, dear friends, do not be deceived by this. Oh, to put it all off, to put it to the back of your mind and to think, well, when I am older, I'll deal with this. And you younger ones, this applies to you also. And when you're in your young years, you may look upon it and say, well, I've got many years ahead of me. I don't need to worry until I'm older. But dear young friends, also, you don't know when the Lord may take your very breath from you. And you don't know, and as the one says, isn't there, the old will die, and but the young may die. Oh, the young may die. But, oh, this dying thief, the Lord mercifully saved him in his last hour, in his last breath. He was granted that beautiful entrance today. Oh, what beautiful words that must have been to his ears. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, but dear friends, when we consider it, only a few moments or even hours perhaps beforehand, he was found there railing upon God. But the Lord worked in his heart, brought him down. He laid the sinner low, and there when he was laid low and to see his need, brought into that need, brought to see that his sins deserved punishment, then the Lord lifted him up. And that's how the Lord works in a child of God. He lays the sinner low, and then as the Lord's servants, is there that which they have to do also, lay the sinner low and exhort a precious Christ. But this precious Christ then is found in this last clause, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And as I looked upon this word this morning, it seemed really to me, the dear dying thief, in this one verse, we have his testimony. Yes, the Lord worked very quickly in the dying thief. He brought him to his need, and like he did with Paul, the Apostle Paul, he brought him down in a moment and blessed him there. And the dying thief was the same, but not everybody's religion's the same. The Lord doesn't work in all the same, but here in this one verse, we have the dying thief's testimony. He owned and confessed before man, this man hath done nothing amiss. We receive the due reward of our deeds. We've done wrong. We're sinners, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he declared before all the Jews and the Roman soldiers and all that whole multitude that this man hath done nothing amiss. Nothing. He is dying in the room, place, and stead of lost and ruined sinners and the vilest of sinners. He was found there. But, dear friends, when we consider it, it came to my mind this morning, and I will say it, but you may say, well, and the old adversary, and I know what he's like, he will be, I no doubt he at times will come in, and perhaps there is one here, he may be saying to you, well, you haven't got much to say, you can't go and give a testimony because you haven't got much to say. But dear friend, what did the dear dying thief here say? He said, and we indeed justly, he confessed his sins before man, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're vile, wretched sinners, but this man, this holy man, this Saviour here has done nothing amiss. But it's not a long testimony, is it? But all that's contained in it, the sinner is saved. The lost and the ruined sinner saved. But saved by what? When we look at these two thieves, there's no difference, was there? There was nothing before the Lord worked in that one. There was nothing outwardly speaking that separated the two. They were both thieves. They were both justly receiving their reward for their sins. They had both committed that crime. There was nothing in the other that said, well, he has been a bit better, so he can be saved. No. It was all of grace, all of the Lord's mercy, but it was all of grace. And as the hymn writer says, and no doubt this dear dying thief could have sung that hymn from his very heart, nothing but sin can I thee give, nothing but love shall I receive. That's all the dying thief had got to give to the Lord was his sin. But what did he receive? Nothing but love. There was nothing that outwardly speaking, that separated those two thieves, other than grace, other than the Lord's electing mercy, other than the Lord's love to his people. That's what separated them. One was saved and the other lost. One was one of the elect and the other lost. Dear friend, where do we stand? But this man, oh, does this man mean anything to you? Does this man who's done nothing amiss mean anything to you? Because when we consider the dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ here, oh, let us consider him now upon the cross. Let us consider him for a moment now. Let us think upon him. Him there. When we consider, we read, didn't we? The Lord Jesus in the judgment hall. Pilate sent him off to Herod. Herod saw nothing wrong in him and could see no reason to punish him. Neither could Pilate and neither could the dying thief. But still, the Jews wanted him. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And dear friend, let us not cast stones at the Jews either. Are we any better? Those who you may, the Lord may have blessed and worked in. But were we not the same? We would cry with the Jews, no doubt better than the Jews. Away with him, away with him. I will not have this man to reign over me. Crucify him, crucify him. And then, oh dear friends, then, when he was made to bear that cross and walk that distance with it, and they asked then Simon to help with it, because the dear Saviour was so weak at that time in his poor body. But yet, when we consider, let's just consider the cross for a few moments. Here he hung there upon the cross, and he was placed in the middle of those two thieves, the middle. And I believe that was to show and to set forth, as I said earlier, judgment and mercy, the lost and the saved. But also, the Jews set him in the middle, I believe, and those Roman soldiers, because it was to make him appear as if he was the worst. Oh, how humiliating to the dear Saviour. But let us go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. When we consider this man who hath done nothing amiss, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering Saviour, Lamb of God, as we sing of, how hast thou been used? Oh, the Almighty's wrathful rod, soul and body bruised. Let us go back to the Garden of Gethsemane then for a few moments. You consider the dear Lord Jesus. Bear in mind, dear friends, this man, this glorious man, this holy man had done nothing amiss. Nothing. He had not sinned. He had done no wrong. He had spoken no wrong thing. He thought no wrong thought. He was God and man. He was the Word that came and dwelt among us. He was the Lamb of God and is the Lamb of God. And he is each of those I just said. Still, he is that same Jesus. But let us go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. This man that hath done nothing amiss. There we read in the previous chapter, in chapter 22, I believe it is, we read in verse 44 there, you consider. Well, we read in verse 41 to 44. You consider this man who has done nothing amiss, but yet look what he took upon him. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, this man has done nothing amiss, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This man hath done nothing amiss. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. We see here that sacred humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was found there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, dear friends, he was there found, remove this cup from me. But yet he knew that I must work the work of him that hath sent me. And but yet he was then found, we see his dear sacred humanity tried there. If thou be willing, remove this cup. He knew there in the Garden of Gethsemane what he was to endure and what was before him. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane is the whole weight of all that was before him laid upon him. And as the whole weight and burden of the souls of his dear people and the soul of the dying thief, he knew what the dying thief was yet to do, that yet there in the garden, he knew there in the garden that Judas there was then exchanging that money in the hands of the Jews. He knew that Judas would come and find him yet, and that he would then be betrayed with that kiss and all that weighed so heavily upon him, and yet he knew that he had to endure all this yet. But this man hath done nothing amiss. But then as he there bore that in the garden, he being in an agony. Oh, dear friends, oh, little do we, our poor finite minds understand that agony. That agony as he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, that blood that was yet to be shed. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They couldn't endure it. They couldn't bear it. Oh, that was no ordinary sleep. They couldn't see and understand what was before the dear Saviour, but they saw him there, oh, weeping those great drops of blood, being in an agony for his people's sins, for the souls of his people, and the agony of our sins laid upon him there in the garden too. As he knew that he had that curse to bear, and he had to endure yet still on the cross, that punishment, that wrathful rod from his Holy Father, and those hours where he felt that his dear Father had left him. But this man has done nothing amiss. But he was made willing to be a man and die. He was made willing, as he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. I believe he said that when his dear mother and father came to find him when he was that young teenager, there preaching among the rabbis and so on there. But then when he prayed that to his father, didn't he? I cannot think of the words, but he prayed to his father that he had that which to do, that those that were his might be found with him. But he knew what he was sent in love by his dear father into the world. The holy Lord God Almighty sent his only begotten son, his only begotten sinless, perfect, obedient son, into the world, who had done nothing amiss. What for? For the sins of his people. The sins, because the Lord God knew that his people could not keep that holy law. They could not keep themselves from sinning, and they needed a Saviour. But what did the Lord say? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What do we see in that few moments there? The spirit of repentance was granted to that thief there on the cross. We justly receive the due reward for our sins there. Oh, they do. But he was granted that spirit of repentance. The other thief, no spirit of repentance. He died unrepentant. He died in his sins and is now found in hell with the devil and his angels forever and ever. Oh, in that lake of burning and never-ending fire. But dear friend, what a contrast. That dying thief that was granted that spirit of repentance, repented over his sins and cried out under the repentance of it, his need of a Saviour. Oh dear, then what did he say? What did the dying thief say there? Remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, he begged that the Lord would remember him still. The Lord will not forget. And he won't forget you, dear child of God. You that may be feeling so tried and troubled as to whether the Lord will remember you. And it's come to my mind, and I hadn't thought of them in that way, linking together. But may it be an encouragement to some poor child of God. I had to take the reading on the past day at Bethesda. And I took a word in Psalm 9 and spoke to the residents there from it. May it be an encouragement to you that the Lord won't forget. What does the Lord say in the psalm here? He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Psalm 9, the last clause of verse 12. When he maketh inquisition for blood, for the blood that he shed, when he comes in judgment, he remembereth them, his people. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Or as the margin renders it, the afflicted ones in their soul, the ones afflicted by sin and feelingly afflicted. Because, dear friend, there's the dying thief there on the cross. He was afflicted for his sin. He was shown that soul sickness, though for a short time, but it was deep. But then the other, there's no soul sickness in him. No, not at all. But this man has done nothing amiss. But then let us follow the Saviour for a few moments from the Garden of Gethsemane into the judgment hall. You think, dear friends, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, this man hath done nothing amiss. But yet still Judas came with him, with that great multitude and those soldiers, with those swords and staves and so on, to take Jesus by force. But he needed not to be taken by force. Why? Because they couldn't take his life away. Why? Because he was to lay down his own life. No man taketh it from me, the Lord Jesus said it himself. I lay down my life, no man taketh it from me. Oh, they could come with all their swords and staves and their multitudes. Oh, but Jesus wouldn't fight with them. He would make no resistance. He had, as he spoke to the dear Lord God in his prayer, in that chapter 22, not my will, but thine be done. He knew what the Lord God's will was, that he must die for his sins, for the sins of his people. But he knew that he must go through with it. He must bear that curse upon the cross. And then we consider him there. He was then taken. And as he said to them, I was daily with you in the temple. Ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Oh, he was made willing to die. He went quietly and humbly before them. This man hath done nothing amiss. What a humble Lord Jesus was found there as he was humbly taken away. And he so kindly then restored the ear of that servant of the high priest. But then as he was taken there and was crucified upon the cross. And as they took him into the judgment hall. There they buffeted him. They struck him upon the face. They there began, as it were, that cruelty to him. And they were then mocking him. Stripped his clothes off and put that robe upon him and mocked him, because they were effectively trying to punish him for pretending that he was the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But this man had done nothing amiss. He was the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But then we see, as they pierced his dear temples, of his dear face there, that face that had no doubt sweat, as it were, great drops of blood from his forehead, his temples there, they were then pierced with that crown. That crown so cruelly put upon his head, and no doubt roughly, with those great thorns as they pierced his skin, and his blood was then first shed forth for his people's sins. And then when they were there, they struck his dear face, bruised his dear face, that face, oh, that, as the Song of Solomon speaks so beautifully of, that was such a beautiful face, but yet was so marred by sin, so marred by the sins of his people, so cruelly struck. And then the blindfold put upon him and asked, "Who is striking? Prophesy unto us," and making such mockery of the prophecy, and making such mockery of the miracles, and asking the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ to perform those miracles in a mocking way. But dear friends, oh, is it any? Does it bring you there then with the dying thief there? We receive justly. But this man has done nothing amiss. And then as he was taken there upon the cross, and as they reared him up, as they nailed him to that cross, but before they nailed him to it, you think, dear friends, the dear Lord Jesus hadn't had nothing to eat and drink since the morning of the day before. And when he took the feast of the Passover, that was his last time we read he ever read or drank anything. But then he had had no sleep and had been so abused the day before. But yet then he was expected to take up his cross and to walk, as it were, to Golgotha, to Calvary. And as they would have seen him there, so weakened in the way, they asked that Simon, the Cyrene, to help bear the burden. Why? Because they didn't want to see the Lord Jesus weakened and to die there. They wanted to crucify him in that cruel death. And the Lord God, in his mercy, he saw that there was not just that death there. The Lord didn't have his life taken. He laid it down there on the cross. And then when he was there on the cross, as he would have looked upon, or as he was nailed to the cross and reared up by those cruel soldiers, but what was the dear Saviour's prayer to his Father? This man hath done nothing amiss. And what was his prayer? He didn't say to those soldiers and the Jews, "Away with you and cursed be you all. I am not going through with this," did he? No, he didn't in the Garden of Gethsemane say to his Father, "I can't bear this." No, he was made obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then he came here and he was reared up so cruelly and so hastily, no doubt, upon that cross. And as his body bore the weight, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But yet still, when he prayed that beautiful prayer unto his Father, they had seen him acknowledge that it was his Father. And he prayed to the Father for the forgiveness of their sins, and it might be that they might be saved. But yet they still tore his clothes apart and parted his raiments and cast lots for them as if they were nothing. But this was the dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ here. This was the King of Glory. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great High Priest here. And here we have him as that intercessor, that mediator, that great High Priest praying unto his Father. For oh, an ignominious death. But yet this man hath done nothing amiss. Why? Because he bore the curse for his people's sins. the sins that were their just desert for their sins was the curse for themselves, that never-ending eternity in hell. Oh, a never-ending eternity, forever and ever, found there. But yet, oh, he bore that curse there upon the cross as he hung in those hours of darkness when he was found there crying unto his Father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt forsaken. But yet this man hath done nothing amiss. He felt the hidings of the dear Lord God's face. He felt darkness. He felt alone. And at this same time, he had the curse laid upon him. He had that wrathful rod laid upon him there upon the cross. But in those dark hours, he also had to endure those Roman soldiers sneering at him, jeering at him. And then also, the high priests and those who were great in authority in the Jewish church, all looking upon him, saying unto him, save thyself, thou hast saved others, come down from the cross if you are the Christ. But yet he didn't do anything amiss. He spoke no wrong words to them. He didn't rebuff them when they struck him, did they? And he didn't at this time upon the cross, like man would have done, if this was just man and not God, man would have come to the point, wouldn't man? They'd have said, I can't bear this any longer. Lay the curse upon them. Take me down from this cross or remove me from it. But no, no, this man that had done nothing amiss, oh, was he had to die. He was made obedient, but he had to die that his fellow sinners might live. But then he had to die that he might rise again. And there he died that death, that cruel death, that death that was only used for slaves and those that were criminals. But the Lord endured it. Oh, he endured it for his people's sins, not their righteousnesses, not what they'd done right. No, it was for their sins, for all the things that they had done amiss. But they were laid upon this dear Saviour who had done nothing amiss. Nothing. But then we see the soldiers there when he cried out, I thirst. They jeered at him and offered him their vinegar on the sponge. And that was really was a mocking way, because it was their form of alcohol. And they were almost saying to him, do you want to drink with us? What mockery. But then dear Lord Jesus there, once he had that dear child of God beside him, that dear child of God that was brought to feel his need, once he had said those words to him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What do we read? It was the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth. Oh, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. He had to endure that great darkness, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And when Jesus, this man who had done nothing amiss, cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. But, dear friends, that wasn't the end. He gave up the ghost and his spirit left his body. And then his body was laid in the grave. But the grave couldn't contain him. Why? Because this man hath done nothing amiss. He must be raised to be that intercessor, that mediator, the great high priest, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that brother born for adversity, found at God's right hand on high, raised for our justification, died for our sins, raised for our justification. This man hath done nothing amiss. We receive just the due reward of our deeds. But what a mercy if this man who had done nothing amiss took upon him that due reward for our sins. Is that our concern? Is that our desire as we follow the dear Lord Jesus through from the garden of Gethsemane to his death on the cross. Is it your desire? Is it my desire that we might be found like this dying thief? Oh, but now, that it might be today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That might not be that taking of our life, but that blessing in our own soul. Oh, today. Well, dear friends, the time has gone, but this man, oh, may we be enabled to see this man who hath done nothing amiss, suffering, even as a little glimpse of him, suffering as the man that hath done nothing amiss, who bore the curse for us, that we might be granted a little glimpse, even this day, that all this was done for you. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen. We will conclude the service this morning by singing hymn number 688, and we will sing it to the tune "391, Philadelphia." Hymn number 688 to the tune 391, Philadelphia. Ye that pass by, behold the man of griefs, condemned for you, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursue. See there his temples crowned with thorns, his bleeding hands extended wide, his streaming feet, transfixed and torn, the fountain gushing from his side. Hymn number 688 to the tune 391, Philadelphia. Thank you. do harden anything thy pure and holy eyes have seen of me. Do, Lord, send thy word home with power. O Lord, we beg, for this man hath done nothing amiss. And O Lord, we thank thee. Oh, that thou didst send thy dear Son, thine only begotten Son, to suffer, to bleed, and to die in the room, place, and stead of poor, lost, dying sinners, O Lord, deserving wrath. But Lord, do then be with us in the interval, and Lord, grant much prayer for this afternoon. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.